right, good to see you. How many of you guys know what this is? Anybody know what this is? What's it called? Surge protector or power strip, right? Can I get some? Could you help me just a second? I forgot. What was your name again? Jaden. Jaden, how old are you? 11. Can you help me here? Pastor Ray's kind of old. He's kind of old and he's kind of feeble. But I want to plug in some of these things. Can you plug them into the power strip for me? Okay, that's a calculator. Here's one for this beautiful lamp that Mr. Brian likes. Mr. Brian right here, he loves that lamp. And then right here, can you plug that on? Can you plug that in for me? Jaden, you are so good. Now, here's what happened. See that button right there? It says off and power. So would you push that button on so we can light? Did you not push the button right? Can you try that again? What could be wrong, Jaden? What do you think could be wrong?
The power strip isn't plugged in.
It's not. Oh, does it have to be plugged in for it to work?
Mm-hmm.
Really? Okay, could you do that for me? Watch out. Last time I did this, it electrocuted me. So could you do that for me? Thank you. Oh, wow, look at that. Isn't that amazing? Look at that, guys. How's that? Jaden, good job. Isn't that amazing? And you weren't even electrocuted. That's good. Okay. John chapter 15 talks to us about the true vine. Okay? Jesus says in John chapter 15 these words, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. But particularly notice verse 4. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Isn't that amazing? Just like this power strip. This is a really nice power strip. I think we probably stole it from somebody because I don't usually buy stuff that nice. So it wound up at our house somehow. I'm blaming it on Marcus or Jenny. They kind of like that sometimes. But that's a nice power strip. But you know what? Unless that power strip is plugged in, doesn't work, does it? You can have the nicest power strip that you can get from Amazon or Walmart or Lowe's or anywhere else, but if it's not plugged in, it's not going to power the things that you want it to power. Isn't that what Jesus said about us? Jesus says, if you don't remain in me, you're not going to have the power to produce fruit like I want you to. Let's continue reading in verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. So just like the power strip, unless it's connected to a power source, it is not going to give us power. It is not going to turn on lamps. It is not going to turn on calculators. It is not going to turn on hair dryers or anything else that's electrical that is plugged in, because it has to be connected. It has to remain. And again, that's exactly what Jesus is telling us here. You've got to stay connected to me to be fruitful. So this morning, I want us to look at a couple of lessons that this passage teaches us about how we can be fruitful for Jesus. First lesson is that spiritual fruit and spiritual life come from being connected. This is what Jesus says in verse 4, right? He says, remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. So there are two crucial benefits that Jesus kind of points out to us in this passage by being connected. We are a society that loves to be connected. We like to be connected to things. That's why we join gyms. That's why we join clubs and civic groups. And that's why we do all kinds of things, because we like being connected. Jesus says, when you're connected to me, there are some obvious benefits of you being connected. The first benefit we see in verse 1, we are connected to the true vine. Notice how Jesus describes himself. I am the true vine. Now, why didn't he just say vine? Why didn't he just say, I'm one of the vines? But no, he took it a step further to define it and to describe it further by saying, I am the true vine. That word true can also be translated genuine. So in other words, Christ stands as the true and genuine source of spiritual life. Now, some of you may have grapevines in your yard. Grapevines kind of creep me out, because whenever I go in to pick grapes, I'm always wondering about what kind of varmints are in there. Right? But if you look at a grapevine, and no matter, look at that grapevine on the screen there. Great job, Miss Stephanie. If you look at that grapevine, you see all kinds of branches there. But if you were to take the time and trace all of those branches back, they would go to what? One vine. One vine. And you see, Jesus understands that. He looks at all of us today, every one of us in this room, every one of us as Christians all around this planet today, we are all kinds of branches, but there's only one vine. Because Jesus is the true vine that all the other branches go back to find our faith, to find our grace, to find our sustenance, and our ability to produce fruit in. So if you've ever noticed that grapevine, it's spread out all over the place. But it always goes back to that one vine. And this is true of our connection to Jesus, the true vine. Jesus stands as the constant source of spiritual life and truth. And that's why he describes himself as the true vine. Now, our job and what he expects from us is to be fruitful by communicating his authentic message to an inauthentic and hostile world. That's why when we stand up and we talk about testimonies and we say, this is what God has done for my life. That's why when Jeremy can stand up and talk about his addiction and how God has given him the grace to overcome that, and Larry and Kim and so many others of us. A lot of times people look at that, if we talk about God and we talk about spiritual strength and talk about spiritual giftedness, they kind of write us off with that, don't they? But yet Jesus says, this is the message I want you to proclaim. This is the true message, and this is authentic message that you're going to have to proclaim even in an inauthentic and sometimes hostile world. See, the problem, though, is that some of us are just not that connected. One of the things that frustrates us, particularly in our technological age, is internet speeds. You know what I'm talking about. Maybe you want to look at a web page, or you want to download a video or download a song, and you're sitting there watching a little wheel spin and spin and spin, and you see all kinds of vile things, and you have all kinds of problems with your sanctification at that moment, and you're hitting the desk, and you're saying things under your breath because that internet connection is so slow, it won't download as fast as you want it to. Think about that in relation to some of us as Christians. We've got this slow connection going on with Jesus because we may not just be that concerned about our connection with Jesus. We're not growing because we're not connected. And we get connected with Jesus through the new birth, but then we stay connected, as he tells us here. This idea of remaining is vitally important. So we're not really connected. We're just kind of out there doing our own thing. We're kind of going this way and going that way and doing this and doing that. And we're not really focused in on being connected to Jesus. Some of us aren't fruitful because we're not concerned about our connection. We just kind of look at serving God and church attendance, or we look at a number of things as just things that we do when it's convenient, or when there's a particular need that we need to have met, and we don't really look at it as something as remaining in Jesus. Sometimes the only reason we try to increase the connection is when we're in trouble or need something. How many times have you seen that? People that really could care little or less about Jesus or about church, when something happens in their life that they need something, they're all about them some Jesus at that point. They're all about them some people at church. Or they're all about what? Getting connected. And God doesn't want us connected just when we need. He wants us to be connected so that we can meet needs. See, that's the ticket. He doesn't just want us to be connected when we have a need, but He wants us to be connected so that we can meet needs that we've talked about all around this building this morning. These are the needs that we need to meet. And so if we're going to be fruitful, we have to be connected and then stay connected to Jesus Christ. So the first benefit that we have of being in this true vine is that we are connected. Secondly, we are cleansed through this true vine. Look in verse 3. Jesus says this. He says, "You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you." So let's just ask an obvious question here. What does Jesus use to cleanse us with? He tells us right there in verse 3, doesn't he? It's the word of God. So how does the word of God cleanse us? How does the word of God purify us? How does the word of God do that spiritual laundry work in our lives? First of all, it brings us to a right relationship with God. In other words, it gets us connected. Every one of us in this room perhaps are familiar with that verse in Romans chapter 10, verse 17. We've heard it used for years and years and years. And Paul says, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. So how are we brought to faith in Christ? We're brought to faith in Christ by the word of God. It is the word that God uses through the Holy Spirit's ministry to implant its seed into our hearts and lives so that it grows and it becomes something that brings us to faith in Jesus Christ. That's the initial cleansing. That's the time when you are out there in sin and you're lost and you don't know which way to go and you don't have any assurance of your eternity once you close your eyes in death. And through the Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God that brings conviction to our hearts, we are cleansed and we are born again. And I'm going to tell you something. That's the greatest feeling that you'll ever have. To know that you're right with God, that you don't have to fear death, you don't have to fear the things that come into our lives because we are connected with the God of this universe. But here's another way in which the Word cleanses. It keeps us in a right relationship with God. It keeps us in a right relationship with God. You see, the Bible is not just designed by God to bring us to initial faith in Jesus, to help us come to faith in Jesus at the time that we give ourselves to Him in that act of salvation, when justification takes place. But the Word of God is also designed to keep us close to God. One old preacher used to say that either the Bible will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from the Bible. And there's a lot of truth in that. And if we are immersed in the Word, if we are staying in the Word, then the Word of God will help keep us in a right relationship with God. For instance, have you ever gotten really excited about God? and you just read the Word, you read the Word, but then something happens. Maybe you get a little disillusioned, maybe someone hurts your feelings, or maybe God doesn't answer prayer the way you want Him to, and you kind of get sour on God, and you kind of put the Bible down for 2 or 3, 4 or 5 days, or maybe longer. Can you tell the difference? Can you tell the difference when you're not in the Word as opposed to when you are in the Word? And there's a reason for that difference. It's because when we remain connected to God and His Word, then it is drawing us to God. It is helping us to be reminded of the promises of God and the commands of God. And those things keep us reminded of that. So like a marriage. If you want to stay close to your spouse, you got to spend time talking. You got to spend time hanging out with them. You got to spend time doing things together, or else she will drift apart. Speaking of marriage, in Ephesians chapter 5, there's three verses here that are really important in relation to our understanding of God and His Word in our lives. In Ephesians 5, you know that famous passage beginning around verses 19 and 20, Paul talks about the relationship between the husband and the wife, and in chapter 6 of Ephesians, about a relationship with our children as parents. But in verses 25 through 27, listen to what Paul writes. He says, "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word." So here Paul is reminding us that what Jesus Christ has done is that he has loved us to the point of giving himself as a sacrifice on Calvary's cross so that he might bring us to himself, wash us, cleanse us, and bring us into relationship with him. So that's important. But look at the remainder of that text. "And," Paul says, "to present her to himself as a radiant church." When was the last time you went to a wedding and the bride was wearing dungarees? Anybody? Most of the time when you go to a wedding, the bride is wearing a white dress. She said yes to the dress. You have beautiful flowers all around. You have soft music. And they dress up for that. You see, God's plan is to present us to Jesus Christ as his radiant church without stain or wrinkle. And that doesn't mean you have to die young. You'll catch it later. This is talking about spiritual stains and spiritual wrinkles. Or any blemish, but holy and blameless. You see, God's idea is not just to get us to the altar. That makes about as much sense as a couple coming to the altar, getting married, saying their I do's, and promising to live and love and honor one another until death do us part. And then they look at each other and say, "Well, listen, I don't ever plan to live with you. Wish you well. Good luck. If we ever cross paths again, I'll say hey to you." That's not the way marriages start, right? When people come together, they come together to live together, to stay together, to build a life together, to have a family together, to do all of these things together until death do them part. So Jesus is looking at us and he says, "I want you to come together with me. And I just don't want you to come together with me and the salvation thing, but I want you to continue walking with me, to build on this relationship, to grow in our love, to grow in our intimacy, to grow in the productivity that we can do together as we are connected." That's what Jesus wants. So in this particular passage, Jesus talks about both elements of our cleansing, the salvation and the sanctification, growing in grace, growing in the Word, growing as a believer. Now, I probably don't have to tell many of you that our area, its water has a high concentration of iron in it, right? Most of you are aware of that. You ladies who clean houses and clean toilets and sinks and bathtubs, you're aware of the stain in our area, aren't you? Well, Jenny, I don't know what it's called. I guess we still use it. I do a lot of cleaning, but I just don't know about that particular aspect of it. okay? So, she has this stuff. I think it's called, is it called Rust-Away? You don't know either. You ain't cleaned in a while either, have you? All right, so, I love you, honey. All right, so she has this stuff. I think it's called Rust-Away or something like that. And it's you can have this iron build up, this stain in your sink or your commode, and you spray that stuff in there, and you go back in a few minutes, and man, it's gone. And I'm thinking, that's magic. Technological advances. The power of chemicals is cool because it just takes it away. All that stain, all that rust residue, all that stuff that's gathered in your bathtubs and showers and all that stuff, with a squirt of a chemical, it's gone. Think about you and me. Think about us. Have you ever thought about that we live in a culture that has a high concentration of sin? We live in a culture that has a high concentration of distorted priorities. Did you catch what happened in Charlottesville yesterday? Charlottesville, Virginia? All the rioting, all the craziness that's going on. The craziness is in our culture. I think it speaks well to what Sarah talked about. What we need is not a political revolution. What we need is revival. What we need are not smarter generals and better weapons. What we need is Jesus. And you see all this craziness. We live in a culture. We live in a society of distorted principles. We don't know what's important to us, and it changes from week to week. Whatever the next newest news feed is. And we live in a culture of superficial devotion. And beloved, I don't know about you, but I find in my life that those kind of stains can quickly build up in our hearts. And without the Word of God and without the corrective ministry of the Holy Spirit, we will become so stained with the things of this world that we will become of little service to God. Because all these other things just take priority. All these other things just mean so much. All these other things take up so much of our time that we get so bogged down and stained with the things of this life that we become absolutely fruitless when it comes to living for God. You know, there's a reason why James wrote in his short letter to his readers these words: keep ourselves from being polluted by the world. Most of us would not dare drink if we knew it polluted water. Robin was talking about Jacksonville and how much we've heard in the past years about the water problems down in Camp Lejeune that no one really ever knew about, or else they kept it under wraps. And all the problems that have come because of that. We wouldn't dare ingest knowingly polluted water into our bodies. We wouldn't dare eat food that was poisoned, would we? Not if we knew it. And yet we allow the stains of this world. We allow the stains of the bad habits, and we allow the stains of the distorted priorities and the sin and all of those things to so surround our hearts and enmesh our hearts with all of that stuff that we've become practically useless in the kingdom of God. That's why James wrote those words, to keep ourselves from being polluted by the world. Maybe this is a good place to stop today. Because if you're like me, I find myself in constant battle. You know, the flesh is so smart. The flesh can justify the things that we do. The flesh can justify the habits that we embrace. The flesh can justify the attitudes that we bring into our lives and adopt. And maybe some of us are stained today. Maybe some of us need to really come clean with God, not with rust away, but with the Bible. To say, God, I need to get back in right place with you. I need to get back into the place where I'm listening to you and I'm hearing you and I'm obeying you, and we see the stains come off. Because without that, we're kind of like our power strip. We're not going to bear fruit. Do we want to bear fruit for God? Then we've got to be clean. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word, and Father, thank you for the opportunity to stand before your people today. And Father, I just pray now that as we come to the end of this service, to the most important aspect of this service, the time of invitation, the time of decision, that God, you would speak to our hearts about our deepest need right now. Father, it may be that someone in this room has never asked Jesus to come into their hearts, that they've never been cleansed by the Word, by the washing of the Word in their lives, and by the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. They've never said yes to Jesus. Father, I pray that you would speak to their hearts today and help them to come to receive you as their Savior. Father, for those of us who may be Christians, but yet, Lord, maybe we've drifted away from your Word. We've drifted away from obeying your Word, of being immersed, connected to your Word. And so, Father, we find that our hearts and lives are stained now by the things of this world, the godless attitudes and the godless ideas and the philosophies and all the things, and we rationalize that, we justify that in our lives, God, and now it's time for us to come clean. Father, I just pray that you'd speak to our hearts this morning and give us humility and obedience, God, to listen and to obey you. I'm going to ask us to stand this morning.